This evening we turn our attention to Psalm 68, verses 29 through 31, which are the texts for the sermon, Psalm 68, 29 through 31. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord God created the world, He made man in His own image and commanded him in Genesis 1, verse 28, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Man sinned and rebelled against God and fell from the estate of holiness and righteousness in which God created him. After the fall, the wickedness of man became great in the earth. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was grieved in his heart that he had made man. And so the Lord God said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God sent a flood. It covered the whole earth and destroyed every living thing on the face of the earth except for Noah and his three sons and their wives and some of every kind of animal which God placed in the ark that Noah built. After the flood, the Lord God commanded man again, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But instead of filling the earth, the people said in Genesis 11, verse 4, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So the Lord confused the language of the people, and they could not understand one another's speech. The Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The Lord called Abram out of his country. The Lord called Abram from his own family and from his father's house to go to a land that God would give him and to be the Lord's covenant people there, to worship and serve the true and living God, not the idols that men make for themselves. God promised to make Abram a great nation. God promised Abram, and you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In other words, God promised Abram that in him all the peoples or all the nations of the earth would receive the grace and blessing of the Lord. When there was famine in the land of Canaan, Jacob and his 11 sons and their families moved to Egypt, where they lived for 400 years. When the Lord delivered his people from bondage in Egypt under Pharaoh in the Exodus, some of the Egyptians believed God. They killed a lamb and they put blood on the doorposts of their house, and the angel of death passed by their home and did not kill the firstborn of man or beast, as he did among the rest of the Egyptians who did not believe and obey the Lord. And those Egyptians who believed came out of Egypt with Israel in the Exodus and enjoyed the blessing of God through Abraham, just as God promised him in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. When the Israelites began to conquer the land of Canaan, they took the city of Jericho. But God spared Rahab, the harlot, whose house was on the wall of the city. And God spared her family because Rahab believed God, and she hid the spies and sent them out in peace. When Ruth's husband died in the land of Moab, Ruth left the land of her birth and went with her mother-in-law Naomi to the land of Israel, to the people of God, to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where she married Boaz and became the mother of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. And from the line of David, the Savior Jesus Christ was born. All through the Old Testament scriptures, there were people from other nations who came to live in Israel and become a part of God's holy covenant people who worshiped and served the true and living God. In the prophet Jonah, chapter 1, we read that God, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He did not want to go to the capital city of Assyria, the great enemy of God's people Israel, and warn them of God's judgment, because he wanted God to destroy Assyria, not save them, not show mercy to them. So Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa on the seacoast, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, he got on board the ship, and he went to sleep. And the Lord raised up such a great storm on the Mediterranean Sea that the ship was about to break up into pieces. And the sailors were deathly afraid. Every man cried out to his false god, and they threw their cargo into the sea to lighten their load so that they would not sink in the mighty winds and waves. And the captain of the ship woke up Jonah, and he said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." The sailors decided to cast lots to find out for whose cause this trouble had come upon them. They cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. Jonah confessed that he did not want to do what God commanded him to do, that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord his God. Jonah told the sailors in that ship, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know this great tempest is because of me." The sailors did not want to throw Jonah overboard, so they rowed harder to try to return to land. But they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Finally, they picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. It was calm. The Lord prepared a great fish and swallowed Jonah up. And Jonah was in that fish for 3 days and three nights. And then the fish vomited Jonah on dry land. And we read in Jonah chapter 3, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. And then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne. He laid aside his robe, and he covered himself with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout the vast city of Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" And then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. And Jonah was exceedingly displeased. And he became angry that Nineveh repented. He did not want God to show grace and mercy to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, the enemy of Israel. He did not want God's enemy to repent. He did not want God to be gracious to another nation of people, people that God had made in his own image. The Lord said to Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 4, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city, and there he made himself a shelter, and he sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And then he wanted to die. And he said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry about the plant, even unto death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" God sent Jonah to call Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, and an enemy of God's covenant people, to repent. Jonah did not want to call them to repent because he did not want God to bless or be gracious to or save anyone except the Israelites. Nineveh did repent, and God was gracious to them. And God did not destroy them, but turned away His anger from them, because God's purpose from the beginning, yes, even from eternity, was to be gracious to all the peoples of the world and to bring the blessings of His grace and His salvation to all the nations as far as the curse for sin is found. And to bring that blessing and that grace and that salvation through Abraham and his seed, even our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophets promised repeatedly that the nations would come to worship the Lord. Let me give you just one example. Prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. Or rather, chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles, that means the nations, Assyria, Babylon, and Egypt, and Ethiopia, the nation shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roosts? Surely the coastlands shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first. That's where Jonah was fleeing, to Tarshish. The ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because He has glorified you. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and all those who despised you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion of the Holy One of Israel. In the New Testament, we find repeatedly that the gospel is both for the Jew and the Gentiles. The Gentiles are all the other nations of the world. And our Savior Jesus Christ quoted Psalm 37 when He said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Jesus is saying that the meek who are saved by His grace will not only be Jews who dwell in the land of Israel, but the meek who are saved by His grace will be from all the nations and all the languages and will inherit the whole earth as their possession from the Lord. And the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 8. When our Savior Jesus Christ had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And in Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." Our text in Psalm 68, verses 29 through 31, is another passage in the Old Testament scriptures, of which there are many. Another passage that prophesies of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall come as God's great high priest and offer himself as the sacrifice for sin, by which God will save his people from every nation and from every language on the face of the earth. Jesus Christ is not only the high priest who offers himself as the sacrifice that atones for all the sins of all his people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation, but Jesus Christ is also God's eternal King who subdues the nations both by saving them in his grace and also judging them in his just judgment. In Psalm 68, verse 29, the Lord gives the reason why he exerted his power on behalf of his people Israel instead of on behalf of the other peoples and nations of the earth. And the reason God exerted his mighty power on behalf of his own people Israel is that his power might be displayed as coming forth from the temple, that is, coming forth from God's own holy place, coming forth from God's own presence. God dwells in his holy place. God promises his presence in his holy place where he dwells in the midst of his people. His power comes forth from his holy place to teach us that the only security for the favor and the blessing of the Lord our God, the only security for the salvation of God, is found in his gracious covenant, the covenant that he's made with us, and in his promises to us. The kings and the nations whom Jesus Christ will subdue, the kings and the nations whom Christ will conquer, will acknowledge that the Lord has conquered them. The Creator of the ends of the earth has subdued them. And they will bring presents to the Lord. They will bring presents to the King, even the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all the earth. The fact that kings and nations will bring presents and tribute to God should give the Church of Jesus Christ even more obligation, even greater duty, to give themselves to God as living sacrifices of praise and of thanksgiving, and to offer to him the praise and the honor and the worship that is due unto his great and glorious name. In verse 30, the Lord rebukes the beasts of the reeds and the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples. The Lord rebukes the foes and the enemies that are strong and mighty, like a herd of bulls, like the wild beasts of the earth. The Lord rebukes the proud and the headstrong. He rebukes the roaring bulls that go forth seeking to gore the church of God and destroy it. the Lord rebukes them. And so they too submit themselves to Jesus Christ. No nation that rises up against the Lord and against His church can prevail. There have been many nations. There have been many kings. There have been many edicts against the Lord and against His church. But the Lord has dashed them all to pieces. Not one has prevailed. In fact, Jesus Christ said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." All the peoples of the earth who are not subdued to Jesus Christ seek to work whatever mischief and disaster they can. But the voice of the Lord shall subdue them. The multitudes of peoples are as nothing to God when He goes forth in His mighty power from His holy place. Whether it be a herd of bulls or a pack of wild beasts, they are scattered. They are brought to nothing. When the almighty and omnipotent power of the living God is manifested. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the church of Jesus Christ, which believes that gospel and proclaims that gospel in all the earth and carries that gospel to every tribe and every tongue and every nation on the face of the earth, has nothing to fear from great or small. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the stone upon which everyone that stumbles shall be broken. Until everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. The Lord subdues the enemies of His church until they bring their tribute in silver to the Lord. Blessed is that rebuke of God, which does not break and destroy, but which brings a new heart in people, that they might willingly submit themselves to the King of Kings, that they might willingly offer themselves as His servants, that they might willingly do the will of Jesus Christ. The Lord scatters the peoples who delight in war. The Lord scatters those who will not repent of their sins and bow before the King and kiss the Son. The battle may be fierce. The war that is waged against God and His church may be fierce. But the people of God will heap coals of fire on the heads of their enemies and kill their hatred by acts of kindness, acts of love, acts of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Those who take the sword to kill and to destroy will perish by the sword. Those who are bloodthirsty tyrants shall be scattered and made weak. And so the Lord teaches us to pray. To pray to Him as we face the enemies that surround us, the enemies that fight against Him, that delight in every evil and wicked way. And let us bless the Lord, because He will answer our prayer. He is the God who breaks the bow in pieces and cuts the spear in two. He's the God who burns the chariot of war in the fire. The Lord says that envoys, official representatives of a king, will come out of Egypt. A great and mighty power of the earth that was a fierce enemy of the people of God. The land from which He delivered His people from slavery in the Exodus. Envoys will come out of Egypt. In Ethiopia, just below the land of Egypt, in Africa, will quickly stretch out her hands to God in submission, in obedience, in subjection to the King of Kings. Christ shall gather a people from all the nations of the world, from the kingdom of darkness and sin, great sinners, wicked people, shall bow before Jesus Christ. They shall bow because God, by His grace, changes their hearts. They stretch out their hands to serve the Lord Jesus Christ rather than to fight against Him. And they shall bring presents and offerings to the Lord of glory. Even the Queen of Sheba shall bring presents and shall bring an offering to the Lord, an offering in righteousness. These great countries of Ethiopia and Egypt would come under the power of God. And not only they, but people from all the distant lands of the world will come bowing before Christ, bringing their presence to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us here in this passage that the more violently our enemies rage against us, the more lawless they are in their attempts to attack the church of God and to destroy it and to stop the proclamation of the gospel, to stop righteousness from flooding the land, the more God Himself will interpose by His sovereign and mighty power to deliver His people. He will humble the proud. He will bring low the mighty ones of the earth. That is the character of our God. And therefore, let us learn from this passage of God's holy word to flee to Jesus Christ, to flee to God our Heavenly Father in prayer with confidence when we at any time suffer persecution, when we see the attacks and the venom of the wicked one rising up against us. And let us believe that our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has conquered sin, who has conquered Satan, who has risen to the right hand of the Father, and who reigns over all things in power and glory, He is able to deliver us at once from all our enemies. He cannot be stopped. People will come from north and from south and from east and from west and bow down before the Lord Jesus. They shall be joined to the church of God. And they shall ask Him who is led as a lamb to the slaughter for mercy and for His grace and salvation. Their hearts shall be changed. They shall willingly seek after His grace and desire His love in place of His justice. They shall eagerly desire and embrace the Christ of God, the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham. Ethiopia, Egypt, Assyria, and so many other nations whose hands have long been hardened by cruelty, wickedness, sin. Millions of their sons and daughters have been born in bondage, but they shall find liberty and peace in Jesus Christ, who makes men free. God will be their salvation too. The ends of the earth shall fear the Lord and worship Him. We should pray that God will continue to subdue the nations, that God will continue to save His people out of every tongue and every tribe and every nation, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through the gospel, through Abraham, but through the Son of Abraham, even Jesus Christ our Lord, We should pray for the day when all the peoples of the earth shall adore God. When Egypt and Ethiopia and China and all the other countries of the world will blend their voices in worship to the Lord. This is the confidence of God's people. This is the promise of God. He will bring it to pass. For not one word that He has spoken shall fail. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for these promises that You have given to us in Your Word. Promises that to us can seem so amazing, almost impossible. And yet, Father, as we read in the Scriptures, we realize that we ourselves are evidence that You are bringing to pass these promises that You have made even from the beginning. For though the whole world was plunged under Your wrath and curse because of man's sin, yet it has been Your purpose from eternity to redeem a people for Yourself from every nation, from every tribe, from every language. And though You had one people in the Old Testament, yet You sent the gospel of Your grace to people in other nations here and there. And there were people who were joined to the church of Jesus Christ, even in the Old Testament, from other nations and lands. And even more so, Father, after the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, we see the nations of the earth coming to worship You. And so, Father, we pray even this evening that the kings of the earth will bring their presence to You, that they will bow down before You in Your holy place, that they will acknowledge that You are God, and there is no other. That they will bring to You their tribute, their silver and their gold, yes, all the riches that You have given to them, and their ferociousness, their raging against You, their evil and wickedness, You will stop and rebuke and scatter those who delight in war. Father, we pray that all of Your people will be saved, that all of Your people will be called and gathered by the preaching of Your Word, and that they may be given new hearts from above. For this is Your promise, and it shall not fail. We ask, Father, to that end, that You will subdue our hearts unto You, and that You will cause the gospel of Your grace through Jesus Christ to be brought to those about us who are still sitting in darkness, and to be brought to the ends of the earth to those who are in darkness, that You, O Lord our God, might call them out of that darkness into Your marvelous light. We pray it in Jesus' name, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.